Okay, the topic for today's Return and Learn is Sherry Cask Scotch, Starbucks, and Suds. Is kosher really kosher? So what I'd like to point out, first of all, is this shiur is not at all a comprehensive shiur. As I said, it is three shiurs put together. If YU Torah would allow us, I would put it, Rav Natana would allow us. This shiur would go from now 11 a.m. until probably about 5 p.m. with a break, I guess, from mincha and obviously lunch because I like to eat. But there's so much to discuss. This is not a halachic shiur for you to paskin halacha. It's to give you some of a little bit of the spattering of what the different halachas are when it revolves around us. The topic is when kosher is really kosher, because we're not going to have so much of the discussion, which I hope is obvious to you, when something clearly is not kosher. And you know, you're at the stage of your life already where you don't have to ask these questions. You know when something is wrong, and you don't hopefully justify it. And you can't make the excuses of, well, what can be in it? That excuse maybe in the 60s, when that really was a claim, where things did not have crazy additives in it, and there was a time where we were able to do different types of checks and know. Nowadays, we don't rely on that. We have a wonderful kashrus agencies literally around the world. Sometimes we even actually fall because we don't even know what these kashrus agencies are. We never heard of them before. But on that level as well, by the way, just because it says Rabbi so-and-so gives the haskacha for, you know, this vegetarian restaurant, doesn't mean it's kosher. And I've gotten these questions before from students where they say to me, but he got smicha from Moshe Feinstein. Okay, I'm sorry that that should be a criteria. It should mean a lot. But unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily mean a lot. Unfortunately, when it comes to kashrus, there is money involved. And that is something that unfortunately could shade people. So you have to know if they ask a rabbi and say, Rabbi, can I do this or not? I'll just give you one example. I've given the example before, but I think it should open this idea with you. I found myself once at I happen to love hot pretzels. Hot pretzels. And it happens to be that I'm not an expert at this. I'm not a caterer or anything. But I think that hot pretzels generally, many of them have good hashgachas. Obviously, Super Pretzels under the OU, but many of those hot pretzel companies are under the OU. So you make a very interesting sad hashava, and you say, well, I literally see the box. They open the box. It says that it's Super Pretzel. Okay? And now, a few hours later, I go to the game and I see that there's a Super Pretzel on the little thing that goes around. Why can't I eat that, Rav Hartstein? You're crazy to say anything different. And if you're, you know, typically, unaware, I would say to you, I understand where you would falter here. I'm 100% this is a true story. So I found myself at a Chatasi Ani Maski. I found myself at a sporting event. Years ago, before I was religious, and I lived in America. And I found myself at a sporting event, and I was with one of my kids, and I wanted to get something to eat. Baruch Hashem, nowadays everybody's got the kosher stands, you don't have to worry about this. These were before the kosher stand days, I guess. And we went to one of the things, there was pretzels there. I said, just happened to ask the guy, because it looks like what he does is he takes the pretzel out of the box and he puts it in the thing. I mean, seriously, it's almost ridiculous to ask. So I said to him, is this all you do? And he's like, no, we have to heat it up first. It's not hot. Like, this comes frozen. What we do is we put it in these ovens here. So he shows me the ovens. They're basically like drawers. And in the drawers are hot pretzels. You know what else is in the drawer? The hot dogs are in the chicken cutlets that they make there are in it. It was truly unbelievable that this mamish was mamish cooked with non-kosher chicken. One would never assume that. So this should be a shiur about kashrus, because that should be obvious. You got to ask the questions. And I just want to point out that when it comes to our first topic, which is going to be beer, for many, many years, there was no such thing as kosher beer. There's no OU on beer, if I'm not mistaken. Coors Light was the first to get a hashgacha on beer. So the question is, why? You know, is it just a scam, just a way for a kashrus agents to make more money? I don't know what to tell you. Baruch Hashem, we have wonderful, really, I really mean this, great websites, whether it's the CRC, the Star K, or the KLBD, where you can go on and you could see what items are kosher. And this is great. And anybody should really be using this on a constant basis. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, that's why Hashem created smartphones. You could search. I was in Walgreens. I had to get cough drops. So being the Jew that I am, I didn't want to buy the ones with hashgachas on it, Ludens and Halls. Everybody knows those are kosher. What about the Walgreens brand? So you mamish could write in Walgreens kosher. And all of a sudden comes up, what's kosher, what's not. There's lists, all these lists. Sometimes they don't have hashgachas, what needs hashgachas when it comes to medicine, things like that. It's really a wonderful thing. So there are lists about beers as well. What can make a beer not kosher? I never thought that this was possible until I had a conversation with a beer connoisseur. You guys might remember him to be, his name was Chef Chaim. Chef Chaim was a former chef here in the yeshiva who also owns a beer company. Besides, he was in Beer Bazaar for many years as their one of the owner managers, and so he knows a lot about beers. And he makes, if I'm not mistaken, his company is called Ginger, right? Am I right? It's a ginger spiked type of alcoholic beverage. So he told me once that he went on a tour of distilleries in the United States. Israel is actually a pretty big distillery with many, many different beers that come out of here in the United States, so it's like ridiculous. Microbrewers and all these things. I don't understand from this. I want to give the preface all. Everything here we're talking about, I don't care about, and I have no taiva for. I don't know anything about scotch. I hate coffee, and I don't like beer. So I don't know. I'm sorry. You got the worst guy here. But okay, I've done research. So what happened? He goes on the tour, and he's telling me the story. It's an amazing story. He actually told me the story, maybe even your year, when we went that one to Yerushalayim. Now, remember, we go to Beer Bazaar now. That's one of the things they do on Yom Yerushalayim, because they give out the back room over there. Beautiful. They have a beautiful. They have a beautiful kumsitz over there. So I was sitting in the front talking to Chaim, and he tells a bunch of guys, you know how it is, Leva Torah. There's a bunch of guys who didn't want to be part of the kumsitz. You know, they were followers of they were briskers. You know, they don't sing Zmiros. And okay, fine. So he says, I'll tell you a funny, say, interesting story, guy. Does beer have to be kosher? You hear it, Mamish, from the expert. So he says, yes, the answer is it does. I'll tell you why. He went in this microbrewery, he goes someplace in the Midwest, and the guy says, telling him about beer and how it's made, he's with on a trip with all these Israelis who make beer. And he said, I'm going to tell you Jews something that you probably didn't know. I'm going to tell you my secret ingredients. Why am I going to tell you my secret ingredients, he says? Because I can, because you're going back to Israel, nobody's going to know. My secret ingredients is something you boys are not supposed to eat. It's bacon. And they're shocked after drinking the wine. He said, unfortunately, most of the people there didn't care and they kept drinking the wine because they weren't religious. And he spits out the bag. He's like, what? He says, yeah. He says, it's impossible. He says, look on the label. The label doesn't say anything about beer. He says, chiddush. He says, it comes out, you know, batel b'shishim. It comes out that according to the United States government, as long as it's less than 2%, you don't have to write it on the ingredients, something we discussed before. So nowadays, you're right, I'm looking at now on the ingredients. Of Coke Zero, it says Miris, what it says over here, it's in Hebrew, but so it has water in it, this is why I drink it, I'm just drinking water, it's water, and then it has all these things, Pach Mimon Dam Chumtze, Tseva Ma'alchel E15OD, Malach Limon E332, Aspartame, all these Chumrim, all these things, really bad, but it can have something in it, if it's less than, so this happened, less than 2% of bacon, and it, obviously it's noticed in Tom, we're going to discuss this, it's to keep the taste, so therefore it's mamish also. So I don't know what to tell you, you should look at these lists, because they're very important lists, and we'll get to the sherry cask list, just one, I'm sorry to tell one more story, I know you're going to be very upset, because we're giving stories, but one more good story about that is, I was on a plane once. It's a funny story a bit. I was going to California and a friend of mine upgraded me to business class. I've never flown business class, Baruch Hashem. I hope that I've never flown business class ever in my life from Israel to America. Only family members of mine have. I've never done that. But my friend upgraded me. We're going to LA. It was on a yeshiva trip, so it was well deserved because then I would get to the place and have to sleep in one of my students' bedrooms where he had bionicles all over the place, which was really weird. And I shared a bathroom with his sister. It was really weird. Anyway, so it's good I had a good night's sleep on the plane, the 5 hour ride. Anyway, so part of the zach there is that you know how it is, and well, I'm sure you all know, you rich people, in business class, right? They come up to you like, can I get you something? Can I get you something? And I literally was the only person on the, there's not a lot of business class on going to LA, the only person who refused to get, I didn't want any drinks, real drinks. You know, I was dying, dry coffee, give me another dry coffee. She thought it was crazy. But no, so she says to me, she was like mad at me, can't you have something? Come on, you know what? I'll help you sleep. So I felt like a little bit bad. I said, well, why not? I'll try something. So Baruch Hashem, you know, you get free internet as well. So I Googled quickly, what are, you know, Johnny Walker, what's really Irish cream? Anyway, so I found the list and I said, oh, I have the list. So you have to give you a menu. I said, I'll take this and this, the little bottle. And I put it in my Diet Coke, obviously. And it ruined my Diet Coke to taste. I was like, whatever. I don't know if it helped me sleep or not. But there's less. So there's less. Okay. So the first topic is surprisingly maybe to you, is the following thing. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the first source that we said, Amud Beis, Itmar, Bipnei Ma Asu Sheikh Shalabar Kochavim. Now, just to parenthetically point out, Tosos comments on this, and Tosos says, I have to tell you something interesting. He says, I don't actually know. It's an interesting line. Mipnei ma asru. So you know what I answer you? I don't know. Mipnei ma asru. Why should it be asru? Maybe it's not asru. So I'll just quote you the Tosvos. It's not on the sheet. Tosvos says, Mipnei asru. Isur sheicher lo matzino lo b'mishnah lo b'braisa v'shem mipnei amarim the marim asru. The Amarim, all the, I don't want to say all of a sudden, they make it seem like it's not an Isser, invented it. Maybe because of a problem. What's the problem? Says the Gemara, Rami Baruchana Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Mishum Chasnas. Marriage. This we totally understand. The same Isser, we have many Isserim of Stam Yenam, for example, which is the most famous of them. We don't drink wine together with non-Jews unless it's wine that's Mavushal and obviously kosher, that's be Mavushal, right? And therefore, we try not to fraternize too much. We have the same thing with Bishul Akum. Potentially, Pasakum we're a little bit more makel with, but the same concept, the same idea. Rabbi Nachman Omer Mishum Giloy. Everybody know what Giloy is? Giloy is an interesting one. It's not so, you shouldn't know it, because it's not so foul. Giloy literally means uncovering. Uncovering of what? So there used to be an Isser that when you went to sleep at night, make sure all of your beverages are covered. Why? What were you afraid of?
Snakes.
Yeah. At night, the snake would come, and the snake would drink from your beer or whatever, and it would lay its venom in there. In the morning, you would wake up, you would have your cold pizza and your beer, your hot beer, and you would drink it and die, right? And these beer companies, they're not going to uncover. So we're afraid of that, Giloy. So obviously, many already comment, the Giloy thing is out the window. Nobody holds from Giloy anymore. That's not really true, by the way. I was once at the house of Baruch Hashem. I think it was the year we went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Did you go that year? So Rav Natanael took us to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So we went there, and one of the boys asked, why was it? He had a drink on the table, and the drink looked like this. Had a cover on it. So what is he afraid of? So I was wondering if it's because of Giloy, that even though it's not night yet, he wanted to make sure. So there are those people that are machmir on this, that are make sure that they cover all the beverages, even though. Clearly the halacha applies if you live in like Mozambique, you know, if you live in a country where there really are snakes, even though once every blue moon they finally actually found a snake a few years ago in the Gan, which was really funny. probably one of the Levi Torah guys put it there. Not for the kids, but for me. Hear the kids screaming, it was funny. But chasos would be the real reason. Now, in fact, I didn't give you the whole Gemara. It is true that Rashi comments later in the Gemara and says there's another potential issue. The Gemara continues on, and not in your part. Chamer mishum sheyimsa. Yimsa ma. So says Rashi, chashad yayin nesach. Sometimes there was even yayin nesach in some of these beers, which is not the issue that we're going to discuss. When we get to sherry cask, we will discuss it, but that's not the issue over here. So how do we treat this issue? It sounds pretty alarming that we should have beer that says on it, beer mavushal. You know, like, what? So, says the Rush, I only quoted some of the Rishonim, the Ramban first. And he writes, Benumake Chachame ha Sefartim, the French great rabbis, Chachamim, Matsati Beshecha Rishonim lo asruhu, mi olam. They said this sister doesn't apply. Avalachwem nagu chashash chasidus, venira shemipnei ze mekilim shlonaser bebeistim. Ramban unequivocally says, I don't really think this is such an issue today. The Rush, Mikol Makom Lo Hichmiru Bo Kol Kach, Kemo Alapas, Ki Alapas Yichi Adam, Biarachok Tzvei. Even by the pas, we had a problem because all of a sudden we woke up one day and said, "How is this possible?" Now you have to understand the way pas used to be. We actually had this. You have this sometimes. I went on a business trip once to Switzerland, so as you know, food's always an issue. As I told my Cayman Islands story before. So food's always an issue. So Baruch Hashem, we worked out food. It was a really incredible thing because Shechita is usher in Switzerland. So we paid, in those days when I was working, back in the IDT days, I was working, and they paid this woman, like a Chabad lady. She went with her, and I feel bad about this now. I don't know why she would feel bad, but I feel bad because we paid her a lot of money. But you were only allowed to bring in every day, if I'm not mistaken, something like 2 kilos of meat. It's not a lot of meat. So she would go, she had 8 children, so she would go every day to the border of France, get kosher meat, like an hour and 45 minutes away and bring it in. But eat, you know, with those people, everybody has to tequila. So the Jews can have, New York can have meat. So hard chutzpah, but okay, fine. And then in the morning, so we had nothing to eat. So the place that we davened told us, oh, you can go into the local bakery. This is crazy. The first run every morning, there are croissants that are whatever. So I couldn't believe this. So you have this sometimes where the guy, probably was, it might be Pas, I'm not even sure it was Pas Yisrael, but they allowed it. I don't know. I'm assuming whatever. It happened to be it had stickers on it. So we got there, and then this was like a funny thing. We're trying to converse with them. And I'm like, so we were so happy. We hadn't had breakfast, you know, in a few mornings. And we're like, give us five of them. And she's like, huh? I'm like, so I go like this, put up five. And she's like, hi, how are you? What do you want? And I'm like, no, five, whatever. And she told, so apparently there was a rule that you couldn't order more than two. I guess because everybody, the only Jews would come in. They wanted that first run that had the sticker on it. So you go ahead and do that. So he says, like, so it used to be in the day that it was too difficult because everybody went to non-kosher bake. Everything was kosher. The ingredients were kosher. And they would wake up in the morning. They wouldn't have a mashgiach get up at 5 o'clock to bake. So in certain cases, it's allowed. Pas palter is allowed. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is machmir when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Obviously, there are many people who always have Pas Yisrael. It's a good thing here in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we are a Pas Yisrael country. We only make stuff that are Pas Yisrael. Things that are imported, those become problematic, whether or not they're Pas Yisrael or not. But Yerusha ain't Isra, Ella, Bishop Kovea Atzim Lushtois. Rush gives a further heter, unlike the Ramban, who says, nobody was machmir on this. He goes, you know where it's Usr? When you're Kovea Atzma. When a person is Mamish Kovea Atzim Lushtois, the base over at Kochavim, Kederach Shere Regim Le Kovea Atzim Lushtois. Right? A person is machmir to go ahead and to go into a place and go to the bar, and it's the same guys, Kovea Atzma, every day goes into the bar. They know him so well. He knows him so well that what? When he walks in, they say his name. The old days of I used to be a TV show called Cheers. So when Norm walked in, everybody said, Norm. Everybody knew him. So if you're Kovea Atzma, if you go into, I don't know, let's pick a Moe's Tavern, right? And you go in there and they know who you are. Right, you're drinking duff beer, and they know who you are. That's a problem. That's what he says. But aval im hevia sheikh lebeito, you go and you buy it, and you go home. That's not a problem. Shach derech arai mutter v'chein misha lan bebeis oved kochavim. A person who is going to going to a hotel, and he wants to get something to drink. There's something to drink. Again, guys, you should understand. There used to be two items for drink. Wine and water. That's all they ever had. They didn't have Diet Coke in those days of the Gemara. Surprisingly. They didn't have in the days of the Rush either. They started making other drinks, alcohol drinks. So now you go down, you want to have something. You don't just want to have, you just traveled for hours and hours. But so they had beer. And the wine wasn't kosher, the beer's kosher. So he says that's okay. Because even though you're in the guy's house, it's not really his house, it's an inn, it's considered to be like your house. And that's what he goes, that would be fine. To go in anyway one time to a bar seemingly would be okay. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha. Kol shecha shokutim, echad shel shecha, tamarim shel te'enim shel so'irim, o shel tavua, o shel devash aser. What type of beer do we have today? We don't have all these beers. What?
Barley.
Right, wheat and barley, right?
I mean, they have a lot of other stuff.
Right, so now it's funny. So now
they have it back.
It's amazing. There's been a comeback. It's very, very good. There's been a comeback. I think it's amazing because for years, you can even listen to Shears on YU Torah where Rabbein were like, I don't even know what he's talking about here. What will be Sheikh Oshel tomorrow? All of a sudden, they start on the market now. They have such a thing. They have date beers and they have with honey in it, all these different additives. This is exactly what he was talking about. Aser Misha B'chasnos. Right? Exactly what we said in the Rush. You're not allowed to drink with them. He goes there once. This is exactly what we read in the Rush. Says the Haggah, very important for us Ashkenazim, sorry. Says, based on the Mordechai and others, so if we took a final say in this, again, you know, you deserve another hour to have this year. But if we did a final, you know, countdown for this year, Mistama, it appears to be that we're Mako. And these are not the only Rishonim. You have the Rif and the Meiri, that it's only Mina Kedoshim, says the Rif. And it appears that many, many are Mako. The Ran brings out this idea. He writes, "Shlo yiyah rugil asos mishta ella." You should have a mishta. Yeah, bars, but a mishta, that's going to be wrong as well. So it appears to be that it should be mutter. Comes along the chever nachlasenu, and I love this because we're generally I call myself, you know, I don't know what you guys call yourself, modern Orthodox, I don't know what you call yourself, religious Zionist, whatever terms you like to use. You wouldn't expect that this Sefer, which is written by Rav Yaakov Epstein, one of the wonderful things about this is 20 volumes. He is the Machon Torah of the Haaretz. He's one of the heads there. He wrote the Tshuvas of Rav Ariel. He was the Rav of the Rebbe. His Rebbe was Rav Kluck, Rav Tzvi Yehuda. He was a Rebbe actually in Gush Katif for many years until they were expelled. And and all the Tshuvas are online, which is so beautiful that you don't have to spend any money, you know, and you can look at it online. So I wouldn't expect him to say this, that all of a sudden we're going to now actually say the opposite. Okay, and we're going to say, well, maybe now we're more machmir. Aval klal eino toymin lenase bedoreinu. B'yameinu here, he says in the Chelech Tes, Simon Chav Zayin, shtiyas yayin eino nufutza b'magash chavirim. In those days, people, what? Because nowadays, he says, people aren't drinking wine at parties. You guys are all coming from Return and Learn colleges. So you can tell me what's the emes. The emes is wine, not so popular. Other types of drinks, ooh, very popular. So now, purports the Chevron Dachlaseinu, I think we have more problems than we had before. Why? Shem Yishum Chasim Vishar Tamim Hitira Lishtias. Now it's allowed. Ulam Bedoreinu, third line today, Mashkos El Nufotzim B'chol Olam. Everybody's drinking this. Ubi Yameinu, this is the thing. This is whatever he's having. Mitzad chasas daf chasas mashiach sheichu mashkos charifos gadol. Bivikashka mizoyna sitzibor in ruim shonim. People are having cocktails, all these different things. Go to cocktail parties. She yehudim yoshim imnochim v'soad yachad. Mashkos charifos. They're having, this is daf. They're not having wine anymore. They don't care about it. And it's such an emes. He's so right. Right? All of a sudden they found a way to get around all these yayin levush and all these things. And they say, what do we need wine for? Let's have the Johnny Walkers. Let's have maybe the Sherry Cascade. Let's have the bourbons and all these things, and we can get drunk just the same. So he says, "Oylam hafuch reisi." I don't understand. Nira Sherry Stavros Latam Hashem Yesh La Aser Sol Bidoreinu. He says, "Then it should be Aser. You can't give well if you're not here. You're going. You're drinking with Goyim. Why is that not going to lead to Chasas? It should be Aser. Gorgeous. I mean, it's amazing." Okay. Now others have commented and said, "You know, there's no Gezeiros." If the Gezeira didn't stick, it didn't stick. You can't go ahead and add Gezeiras today. It's funny, because that's the opposite logic. Many of the more religious Zionist camp would say, or just whatever, the modern world would say, you're right. Now things are worse, but we don't add Gezeiras anymore. Sorry. But says Chavon HaSeinu, let's talk about Tachlis though. Right? So now, you call Kovei Atzmo to a party. Again, you guys don't have no history, but you have friends who probably go to parties. So there are non-Jewish people there. And you're drinking and getting drunk with them. Ein chashash chasus godlu mizu. Crazy. This isser is brought by the Rambam. A more specific isser, maybe based on what we said in the Ran. Although I have to admit, this isser is not codified as well in Halacha. But it's on the books. In the Rambam, Mechilas Asuras, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud. Keitzad lo yishte adam mesiva shel akom. You shouldn't drink in what we call a mesiba, a party of the akom. The Afal Pishu Yain Mavusho and Anusar. I don't care if it has all the hashkachas on it, and it's on the CRC approved lift, and the KLBD said it's grace, it's amazing, and it's Mavusho, and it has on it every bottle of wine for some reason, at least in Israel, has like 8 hashkachas on it. I don't know why that is. No, you're not allowed to have one. They all have different ones you're looking at. I don't even know any of these rabbis. Who are these people? Oh, she yeshoise Mikhailov Levado. Oh, she a Rov of Mesiba Yisrael, then it's Mutter. Right? You bring your. Unless it's Rov Mesiba, right? So if you're here in Eretz Israel. Right? So the party's all Jewish people. So what's the chashash? I'm going to marry a girl. She's not so firm. Because what's she doing in a bar? Right? Okay. So that wouldn't be such a... That's not the isser, at least. Maybe there's other problems with it we can discuss it another time. But says the Rambam, there's an isser misima. Now, that's not only that. I don't have time to discuss all the different isurim that surround this. There is an isser. I'm not just saying on the books. It's mamish an isser. To go to parties of non-Jews, especially their, I'm not talking about their holiday parties, meaning to go to a Christmas party, it's mamish for Christmas itself, on the day of Christmas, that's mamish mefurash, that's asar. But the pasuk that's quoted here, v'achalta, right, mizbeach, you're eating from their avodah zarah even, how can you go? Right, the pasuk in Sefer Shemot, Perek Lamadal, v'achalta mizvacho, Right, and your mom is doing the worst thing. How can you go to their weddings? How can you go to their different parties? The Shulchan Aruch writes, it's usher to go to a wedding of a non-Jew. So the Taz says it's usher. Even if you're going to say, but it's Mokum Eva. There are those that are Mekel, the Shach and the Drisha are Mekel and say, if they're going to hate you, and you're not going, and it's a guy from work, and he thinks, oh, you don't, because you don't like me, because I'm not Jewish, whatever it is, that might be mutter. But you should be aware that there's such a thing called Mesiva Shel Goyim. Right, I don't have time now to go into it. We haven't even got to all of our inyanim. But the Mishnah Halachas has a beautiful tshuva on this in Chelek Zion. Rabbi Menashe Klein has different isurim, the Chashash of Chassos and Avodah Zarah, and he thinks that this Rambam, right, is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, based on Cheskio. You can't go to a Mishnah of a Goyim. And he doesn't think it's such a tremendous chiddush. He thinks it's a Halacha Lemaisa. So one could argue, so what exactly does this mean? So bottom line it is probably like Rav Avad Yosef says over here. Rav Avad Yosef writes in source number 7, it's a very, very short part of a long tshuva in Chelek Dalet in Chavadaz, Simon Membez, V'chein Psaka Radaz, Mikol Malkum Ein Lishtois HaKafei B'Mesiv Shalgayim, Lifi Shenimshach Mizeh HaBeit HaKalot, V'ein Roi Lisol Kedoshim Li Yosef Mayim B'Mesiv Asam. He says, wait, guys, you misunderstood what I was saying. This has nothing to do with wine or alcohol, things that make you drunk. It's any place that is considered to be their mesiba, their place where they drink things, you shouldn't go. So now this is another isser for a Starbucks. I can't eat in Starbucks because it's rod goyim. And they're drinking, I don't care what it is, but everybody's having their dandy time drinking their coffee for $7.99. And everybody's all happy now because they've been scammed and they're in the vortex of Starbucks. And they start talking, and that's just a zasser. It's not about getting drunk. That's what he would say. This is also based on a chayodah. He writes, V'chein, I just want to read you the lashon of the chayodah. Rav Shechter loves this chayodah. Rav Shechter actually once pointed me to this chayodah. V'chein, kava, coffee, v'shokolada, hot cocoa, a favorite of mine. Mutter lishdois bebesa, right? The pischi tshuva says you can have it. It would be mutter. So he says no. Be'avonaseinu harabim bezman hazeh kama kilkulim yesh mizeh. She'adizeh v'adiznus ki yadua im kain kol asher reach Torah. If you have a reach of Torah, yarchich mizeh. Don't go to these places where they sell these coffees. Mamish, unbelievable. I don't know what to tell you. You want to tell me I'm great? You know, crazy. I'm crazy. I know for other reasons, but okay. Rav Avad is very against it. There are those that are very against it. Again, Mishum Eva could be another possibility. There's a great sefer Zivchei Tzedek, Rav Avad Tzemach. There it says there's an Eva problem, right? Maybe we could say even Rav Avad wouldn't even understand it as well because he was in Eretz Yisrael his whole life. People just want to go to a coffee. They just want to have something. You know, and there are things that you could have in the coffee shop. That's kosher. He says, you're not koveyat, but we're going to be more machmir now? So the question is this based on the Gemara that we said before in Avodah Zarah? Maybe not. The Gemara there was about koveyat, we said the Rishonim already said, I'm not koveyat, I'm going to Starbucks. Well, it's not, maybe you could say, if I go to Starbucks, the same Starbucks every single day, and I sit there and I eat, and I spend 60 hours, as one of the Chedushim we said in Howard Schultz's book, that he writes that he wanted people to be koveyat, mamish. He didn't care that people would buy one cup of coffee and bring, because he wanted it to be like their home. He wanted to justify spending so much money, because I know I could bring my laptop there, I get free Wi-Fi, and I could sit there the whole day and only have two cups of coffee the whole day. He wanted that. He's okay with that. It's amazing. Well, that's how he got the people to pay and give them Italian names and try to, you know, and say your name and the name wrong, you know. Danielle? Yeah, I'm Danielle. Oh, God. Here we go. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But, so... That's how do we paskin in l'halacha? Again, consult your local Orthodox rabbi to try to figure out what would be important. Just finally, Rav Avad Yosef writes that it's lo rotzon chachamim that there's such a thing as going to a bar. Nobody ever said you can go to bars. So I don't know what to tell you. That's chelik one of this year. Okay, let's move on. Perfect. We're exactly at the 30-minute mark. So now let's move on. Chelik two. Chelek 2 is the hak of Starbucks. Starbucks Hock. Starbucks Hock is based on an amazing cheer that I heard a number of years ago. I actually printed out the Meir Makomas of this great rabbi. Hold on, let me just find it. It's really just some amazing stuff. You can find it online. Rabbi, let me just, I'm sorry, I don't have the name here. Oh, here it is. I hope I have it. Oh, here it is. Rabbi Daniel Hartstein. So he gave a shiur a number of years ago. Okay, yeah. So I gave a shiur a number of years ago on this topic. And I have to say, it was kind of funny when I spoke in Camp Masora. So we had a series called Hock and Halacha with Hartstein, the Triple H shiur. Like preparation, it hurts, but it's good for you. And we gave the shiur, and in the shiur, I hocked about, it was called Starbucks, what was it? Starbucks Friendlies, and I forgot what it was, yeah. And I can't find the source sheet, I thought I brought it. And the tachlis of that shiur was that, the tachlis of the shiur was, is that there's different issues. The first thing I brought out was that when it comes to different of places that we go, Six Flags was the other thing. It was the night before everybody was going on their trips. So I found that when people went on these trips, whether it was Great Adventure, whether it was Starbucks, or wherever they were going on the trip, I meant, they always had to have food. And Nebuchadnezzar Aleinu, now we find ourselves not in our ancient territory where we know, thank God, on Central Avenue or whatever your Central Avenue of you know, of where you live is called, where there's 16 eateries there. Halavai is only 16. There's like 37 eateries, right? So what do? So now all of a sudden you start to be makel with yourself. And you start to make, as we said, super pretzel. So you, how can it not be kosher? It's just popcorn. What can be a popcorn? So and so. And you start making all these things. I can tell you, I led one of the trips that year. And again, we're going back now, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 2015 is when this first started this year. I've got when I gave this year. And it's just kind of an interesting history. And so I went on a trip. So I go on a trip to Boston. And I know you don't know this about me. Oh, you probably remember this if you were in my days at Leva Torah when I was mean in the dining room, right? I was mean. I told them, I said, listen, I don't care what you think your policies are. I don't care what your policies are at home. We have camp rules. And I spoke to the camp director and I said, here's, you know, you can't go into a Starbucks and get whatever you want. And I gave them a list of approved items, if you will. Okay. So we give them a few hours to go to Chelsea Market. And they're going, they're having a good time, ta-ta-ta, great, wonderful. And I see a kid walking around, no less, he's eating Dunkin' Donuts. He's eating a croissant, you know, the famous croissant with the egg in it. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, oh, no, it's a kosher Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know, I mean, obviously I know all the kosher Dunkin' Donuts in the world. I have an app in my head. And I said, it's not true. He goes, no, I asked. Behind the counter, there's a wonderful Indian woman. And she said to me, I asked her, is it kosher? And she said, yeah, okay. And he trusted that hashkacha of the Indian woman who said it was kosher. She didn't know what he was talking about, by the way. I promptly smacked it out of his hand, and I told him you have to throw it out. It's not kosher. Again, this went on. I got a call from a parent because I threw out his drink that he got from some fancy place, which was not on any of the proof. It was a problem. It is what it is. Now, the funny part of this whole thing was, at the end, I was matir something. The kids loved me. That was it. I redeemed myself. At the end of the trip, one of the things we did was really cool, actually. We went to where the Patriots play. What's it called?
Chile Stadium.
Yeah, but it has a name. It's like called
Foxborough?
No, but it's the whole stadium has like a... They have all these things you can do there, yes, right? Sports. It's called something. And so we go there, and we go on the tour, we go on the thing, and it was really, really great. And the last thing they did was they let them go to this bowling alley, and it was a cool bowling alley because it was... Everybody has, I think we have like 2 hours, bowl and free drinks. Now, I misunderstood what free drinks meant. It meant only for the guy. No, it meant sodas. There is sodas. And unfortunately, they had a freezy machine. And stupid Hartstein said they can't get it. And they were all complaining to me, like, this would make our vacation. We could have as much, it was literally all you can drink. So I go to the freezy machine. I go to the guy and I say, hi, I'm sorry. I'm kind of the rabbi here. Do you mind if I see it? And the freezy machine, actually, there was only two flavors. There was... cherry and berry, and cherry and berry. And I said, and it said on it, it said cherry berry, and it said on it Fanta. So I'm like, all right. I said, can I see this? And I could see the machine, and it hooks up, and it goes exact. And you see the item that it hooks up to, and on the item, has it had an OU on it. I'm like, shkoyach. And then I searched it, and it was on one of the lists. And I said, "Shkoyach." And I said, "Guys, you can have it." And then the guy, I felt bad for the guy who was on this line of 100 kids. But it would be mutter. Now, I have to point out, even though I paskin this way, quote-unquote paskin, there was a thing I saw recently in one of the summer, when I traveled in the summer, so I go back and forth from camp. Nebuch, Camp Masorah is like 16 hours away from New York City. And so I have a lot of travel time. So sometimes I stop in the middle to Daven Mincha, whatever it might be, in Woodburn, and I get all these weird papers they have. So I was reading one of the papers on Shabbos, and they had a great article from the OU. And the OU wrote about kashrus in the summer. And they said exactly what I'm saying here. People are generally more lenient when it comes to the summer because they have no, right? This is how Friendly, I don't know if you guys know what Friendly's are. Friendly was an ice cream store that everybody used to eat at in my day. Nobody, Chas v'Shalom, would have tarfas there. And I don't know why there wasn't a Maris Ayin Shiloh there. And the conventional wisdom was there was mutter. Why was it mutter? It was mutter because of the fact that the ice cream was cold and so on and so forth. Okay. So he pointed out, this rabbi that wrote this, I forgot who it was from the OU, that not everything is as it seems, right? You go into some convenience store in the middle of nowhere, a gas station, and you walk in there and you go, oh my God, look, it's Freezies, and it says on it, you know, a famous brand, Icy, and you know that's kosher. Because they have no, if it's 7-Eleven, they have a franchise agreement. They have to put the 7-Eleven, whatever that brand is. Here they ran out of it. Who knows, right? There was an ice cream store once in the Five Towns that had a franchise agreement. It was Baskin-Robbins, and Nebuch, the guy fell on hard times. And the last month, turned out he was selling actually non-kosher ice cream. It's very hard to find. I don't know where he found it because he ran out of ice cream and he closed. He wasn't paying his franchise agreement. They had shut him down already, but nobody knew. The letter didn't get there. Nobody knew about it. It was a really, really sad situation. He was selling non-kosher. Okay, that's a far-reaching, you know, that doesn't happen a lot. But the OU says, you never know. You always got to look for the hashgacha on the items. You never know. Same thing, by the way, I would say with popcorn and certainly outside of Eretz Yisrael, you never know what oil they used before just because you see the oil now. It's hot stuff. You have to be very, very careful. So one of the issues of the Starbucks, which still is an issue, which the CRC raises, which is, I don't know if it's originated with Rav Schechter, where Rav Schechter had a very big issue with the way that things are cleaned. I don't know if you guys remember, there was a guy in Yeshiva, I'm not going to mention his name just because I don't want to go on Yom Torah, because he might be in Shidduchim now and it might be a negative thing for it. But he actually lives in Seattle, Washington, and his grandfather was partners with Howard Schultz in different businesses. One of them, they sold him certain things for Starbucks. So he actually got an internship when he was in high school in Starbucks. Whether or not that's mutter or not is questionable because they sell a lot of tarfas there. Mamash, non-kosher, they sell bacon and stuff like that. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story was I asked him, can you find out for me, is this really true? And he said this was true. Basically, they had a policy. The policy was, how do you clean the items? So now let's give your typical case. I get my delicious 100% kosher, mahadrin and a mahadrin, kosher coffee. And I get it. And now all these different pitchers and things that they use, all these, they have to wash. How do they wash it? I'll tell you. They put it in a washing basin together with all the tarfus stuff, which is fine. No problem. Don't worry about it. There's bacon. There's all these things floating around. And they do a first wash with very, very hot boiling water. And then the second wash, they put in the detergent. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 8, Yirali, she'im noisin offer b'yamim b'mayim. Offer in those days is today's dishwashing liquid. B'yamim elu, the soap, whatever. B'chamim she'b yorek hodem she'anicha chedeir b'tocha afal pi she'ashum davik ba mutter da'al yidei ha'offer who noisin tam lefgam. Very important line because we're going to use it. Noisin tam lefgam means literally it is adding a bad taste to the item, or the taste, I don't care about the taste. I don't care, but here's, I do care about the taste. The taste is bad. Now, let's say that hot water mixture now, I says, ooh, maybe you do this, you know, there's shows like this on TV now drink that water, right? It's disgusting. It tastes like soap water. It's disgusting. In fact, this could be a heter, potentially even on a fast day, if somebody really, really has to have a pill on a fast day, right? And they're not considered a chol, of course they could have whatever they want, whatever it might be. They put rosemary, the Sfaradim are very into this. The water, that's not considered real water. That water is no sense on the gum. It's yucky water. But I just need it because I can't get a pill down any other way. That's for another topic. But many interpret the Shulchan Aruch and say the following thing. No, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about any time offer / dishwashing liquid is put in, it's going to create a noisin tam lefgam, and therefore, there's going to be no problem with these Starbucks items. Says the Chazon Ish, source number 9, oh, there's a problem. He said that the Shulchan Aruch is saying, based on the Shach, The soap needs to be in the first rinse. Because once you started it, the wash, the first time without soap, what happened? It got really hot. The bacon says hello to the milk. And they join together and they get married. And they get married and go back to your coffee pitchers and all these different things, all the fancy names they have for these things, the spouts and all these things. And therefore, now you take them out of the hot thing, even though now you've put dishwashing on all the things, and now you have treif kalim, treif mamash. So this was Rav Shechter, was very, very much said that this is very, very problematic. And there's some other sources that I don't quote over here, but not for now, but that give a rise to this potential possibility. Again, this only applies in Starbucks, apparently. It only applies to the major Starbucks, not ones in airports, because they don't clean it like that. They try to get them to change the policy. Surprisingly, for the Jews, they wouldn't change the policy. So that's as far as that. Then comes along the Starkey. The Starkey comes out back in the 2000s. I forgot which one. 15, I think, if I'm not mistaken. All of a sudden, the CRC, who originally had a list of things that were problematic, all of a sudden they're not problematic anymore. Now, I don't understand this. There's a wonderful saver called Headlines. You should, anybody, it's a great, great safer. I don't get paid any money. I was actually asked to be on one of the programs once, it was really true. They called me, and I'm like, I think you have the wrong person. And they go, no, you gave a shear on why you told her. I'm like, holy cow, this is awesome. So I'm like, yeah, I'm so interested. And then like I called them a week later, because it took me a week to like research the topic well. And they're like, yeah, the program was on like 2 nights ago. You missed it, man. Okay, fine. Anyway, David Lichtenstein has one of his programs on the Starbucks thing. So he quoted Rabbi Fishbein, a great, very well-knowledge rabbi on this, and said that they actually found that the for example, it's a bad example, but the Frappuccino, it's a bad example because it used to be my wife's favorite drink, is a powder. They use a powder, much like, oh, you don't have it anymore, but much like the delicious iced coffees that we have. They use a powder, and they put the powder in. So he says, where does the powder come from? I never knew this. He said, the powder, I don't know, again, everything can change. Every year, things change all the time. The powder comes from, guess what? It comes from China. And the way that they make this powder is that they take loads and loads of milk and they put it in a machine. He says this is a multi-$100,000 machine, more than $100,000, and it dehydratizes whatever it's called, all these items. It makes them into little nothings, right? And it takes milk and all these things, and that's obviously a much more secure way. It keeps it forever, basically, and that's how they make it. And they use this machine in China. He says, P.A.D.S., Rabbi Fishbein, they didn't use the word piedus, but knows that that machine is also used for other things that they grind up and make into little things. One thing is called gelatin. What's gelatin, real gelatin, made out of? Bones of non-kosher animals. It's the same machine. They don't wash it between them. They care to wash it. He says, how do you know? So he says, those ingredients aren't kosher, right? You have to be careful with this sometimes. I don't know if you guys are aware. Like sometimes you're shopping, especially like you go to like one of these 99 cent stores, and like, oh, look, Kinder Eggs. And all of a sudden you see the Kinder Egg is from China. It's from some country. It might not be kosher at all just because it's Kinder Eggs. Oh, it's kosher in America. So you have to be really careful, right? They have different ingredients in different places. Just as an example, as far as kosheris, there's a famous additive that's in a lot of things that are made red, that have any red speckle in it. Red number 40, whatever, not making this up. Red number 45 is made out of beetles. It's made out of actual beetles. So obviously if the item's kosher, they check for this. There's so many ingredients now, we have to be so careful. So the Starkey was given access because apparently the way the story goes is that there was a big problem. And the big problem was is that the big problem was when it came to searching Starbucks kosher, the first thing that came up was, it's not kosher. And Starbucks was upset about this. They approached the Starkey and they gave a whole list. They gave full access. A year later, they came back to once again check to make sure all these items are kosher again. And Starbucks said, no, you're not allowed it anymore. We thought it was a one-year thing. And that was going to last forever. So now they don't recommend most of the items. There is a website, which I shouldn't advertise on this forum, StarbucksKosher.com, which quotes a new hashgach I never heard of before, the LKO, if I'm not mistaken, the Lakewood Kosher, maybe, organization, which matters all the stuff that seemingly that the Starbucks didn't matter before. Who are they? So I don't know much, but I can tell you I don't think they're reliable based on some information I've been told. But they do have, you can click their Star K and it tells you which Star K items are okay. So that is a good thing that they've done there. One has to question that. Again, there are all these different types of lists. One of the Star K Heterim that they give is source number 10. Rabbi Heinerman, was the head of the Starkei, great, great Gadol, Paskins, that when someone is traveling, he's considered to be b'di'evit situation. And therefore, you can drink kosher. I wrote kosher in the Starbucks coffee, because now it doesn't apply anymore, because now they came out and said they're not kosher. The same would apply to coffee served on airplanes or gas stations. We're talking about, obviously, black. That's always okay. And you're considered to be a b'shas haschach Jew. What's that based on? The Yad Ephraim. Based on the Nodi Yehuda, who questioned... discuss a question regarding Starbucks of his time, the coffee house. The question, the case revolved around something else, using the cups, the mugs. They didn't have paper cups in those days. Can you do that non-Chalav Yisrael, which really wasn't Chalav Yisrael, not like today. Really, Mamish was coming potentially from non-kosher animals, and he allowed it. You do rules that one should refrain from using coffee house mugs on the normal assembly because you're traveling, it would be mutter. And he gives this big heter called the coffee house heter based on Rav Heinerman Traveler. So one could argue, though, and this is was pointed out by one of the many shurim I heard on this topic, Yeshkoyach. So now I have a desire. I'm sitting in the airport in Nebuch. I got a delay. I'm there for 12 hours. I need to have a coffee, so have a coffee. You need to have a mocha, frappuccino, latte, grande, gata-gata-gata with all the stuff in it. That's not a heter. That's not... If someone's traveling, so you can have the coffee, but you have to have all the additives and all... Again, assuming all those things are kosher... it could be problematic. But besides the fact, where are the Bishul Akam? Bishul Akam is not a problem. The Piskei Tshuva already says that it's mutter. But the Bidi'evit does apply. The question of Bidi'evit applies in Halacha. It's important to know. I find myself in an emergency situation, so I might be able to eat things that normally I should be a little bit more machmiran. That's true. So the last topic, we only have a few minutes, Mamash. I don't want Rav Goldbach about to come in. I don't want to upset Rav Goldbach, Chas V'Shalom. And that is, Mamash, Al Regel Achas, the Sherry Cast. Sherry Cast is an amazing topic. He does a great job. Rav Lichtenstein does an amazing job. David Lichtenstein does a great job in his Sefer writing about this, about whiskey and the kosher market, and they have their own whiskey tour and all these different things. Anybody who researches this topic without quoting the number one greatest article written on this, Rav Akiva Newhouse wrote on this from the Chicago Community College over 100 pages in this in 2012. It's really unbelievable. It's available online. And he says it could be very, very problematic. But then you have Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva. And there's three tshuvas. And it was asked Rav Pinchas Teis, anybody who went to JEC. I don't know if you ever heard of JEC. So JEC, yeah. So he was the rabbi. He started JEC, right? His... children has taken that over. So Rav Teitz was asked this question. There's a guy that sits in the base medrash, Seth Grossman, so it's his wife's grandfather. So he wrote three tshuvas on this. And he asked, blended, what's the potential problem? Sherry casks are basically actually what they sound. They make sherry, which is a type of very, very potent wine. They make it in Spain, and they have these barrels they don't know what to do with anymore because the halacha is, psuka, when it comes to sherry, that you can only use the barrel once. So that's the godless of sherry that's very, very special and unique. You can only use it once. So now comes along the sherry cask, and now they don't know what to do with the barrels. So many, many years ago, they said, what are we going to do in Spain? They started shipping it and say, oh, you know what you could do with it? Make scotch with it, make different things. And then that's how they started, because it adds the flavor. It's very interesting. Rav Shlomo Miller, the great Rav in Toronto, Rish Koilo, so he says that actually is being done. It's not Noisen's Tam Lefgam. It's not actually being used for the taste. You know what it's being used for? The smell, the aroma. It adds to the smell. And actually, people who are professionals, apparently, can go like this. Oh, yes, I smell the sherry. I don't know if that's really true. And he says aroma is not no symptom of common. There's no problem with aroma. And he actually says that for that reason, many people reject that and say, where do you get that from? That's not true. I have to tell you, professionals, I've heard and been told, that professionals say that this actually, the whole thing's a bunch of hogwash. The whole thing was originally done because these people who started to make this new drink called scotch wanted to save money, and these people that had the sherry cask didn't know what to do with them anymore, the barrels, and they said, oh, we'll make you a deal and we'll sell it to you for nothing. They go, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll say it adds to it. Well, 18 years, put it in this cask and it's going to add to the flavor. It doesn't really add to the flavor. Besides the fact, there's a shiloh whether or not it's buckle b'shishim anyway, which would be a question in itself. I've quoted a few sources. I apologize that we're not going to go into this the way we should. Rav Moshe basically says that it's mutter. However, even though Rav Moshe says it's mutter, and there it's even a worse case because they're talking about mixed brandies and things of that nature, which is even worse because there's even more wine in it, he keeps saying that a baal nefesh should avoid it. And in source number 13, I pointed to the last parts of a tshuva, Zeladina, of a baal nefesh, yeshu lahachmir latzma.
Kama chashashot. Abay poskim stam yenam gamaz manaze aser behana. So shaila whether or not stam yenam, which is an iser midirabanan, is aser behana or not. Are we machmir is iser behana or not? We seem to be yes. Viacha matiram yeshasira dehu b'makom hefsed. Where's the hefsed over here? The hefsed is if I by mistake bought it. No, you didn't. If you know it's aser, don't buy it. The OU doesn't allow it, by the way, in any of their events or anything like that. Ayin b'shachwe says lamasha biyarti sheish la'adam hana. But I'm getting hana from this, even though I don't care that they're sharing. I don't want them to be sharing it, but I'm getting hana from it. It should be aser. He says, okay. But so one should be machmer then. The after sover to stam yenu aser behana gambas manazeh mikol makom levatel b'shisha. The merits batel mishum ola yesh lakoy. Maybe you could say that that's mutter, and that's one of the yisodos that it is batel b'shisha. And in fact, David Lichtenstein, thank God, being a well-off person, took all the famous ones. McCullen is the one that's very famous. McCullen 18. You know why it's called 18? McCallan. McCallan. Why is it famous? Why is it called 18? 18 years. Right? And then there's Glenfish 14. Right? And then, right, all I can't even pronounce all these names. Right? And he did it, and he tested it in a lab, and the lab found, for example, McCallan had 0.05%. Forget a bottle of bashish, even one bashish, which is a huge chumrah that could be added based on the Nod Yehuda. He says that none of that is even here. And all these drinks, the worst drink was 0.13, right? He says it's for sure a bottle of bashish. So then you have to ask the Shaila whether or not you can use empirical testing. Is that allowed? And he's shot, right, which by the way comes out to be 1 in 769, not 1 in 60. So it mamish batal b'shisha. So he points out the Sharim Mitzurim Bahalacha or Shlomo Zalman Braun, wonderful sefer, and several other authorities, including the Shalom Meshav of Natanson, or Shmelkas in the Beis Yitzchak, allowed running a laboratory test. Even Rav Sternbach says you can rely on Rav Sternbach. The great Rav Sternbach says, yeah, but you have to tell them that if you're wrong, we're going to other laboratories. And if we're going to expose you, especially in our generation, we're going to shame you online. And you're going to go on to TMZ. You know, you have to tell them. It's going to be really bad. So we do. Famous thing, the Ramah against the Shulchan Aruch, do we use expert testers to test things nowadays? So he says that we don't. The Ramah is against that. But in this case, we do use empirical testing sometimes to make sure. One could argue that how can you use empirical testing? The great Rav Ari Leibowitz writes and says in one of his shurim, he says, how can you use that? Then if you have a case of Bashar v'chalav, say, I don't need a rabbi. I'm going to go to the local lab and see. And if he tells me there's no chalav in here, empirically I found there's 0.00, then it's bottle machine. I don't even have to ask the rabbi. So we have different halachas that we follow. So Rav Moshe is not as convinced. However, Baal Nefesh should be choshesh. So why not be a Baal Nefesh? They actually make today great alcohol. The Shulchan Aruch writes Kuf Lamed Zayin, source number 12. Mutar litein l'tocho bo mayim kelim ha'asurim machmat yayin. Right, shelavod kachavim. Mutar litein bo mayim o sheicha o mashkim. So this would be a potential heter for us. Why? You can't mix wine with wine. That makes it also. I have kosher wine now, and I have a sherry cask. That for sure is not. Why? Because it's definitely nosing tam l'shvach. Because I'm adding more wine to it. But if I'm putting it in water, ugh, the water taste is not going to be good now. The sheikhar taste is not going to be good. Shar mashkim could equal this. Then I might have a problem. Right? Then I won't have a problem. Sorry, shidiyak b'tchila. There's no, the b'lias are no sin tam lefgam. Now, especially if we say that it's, I don't care really about the taste. I'm just doing this because it's good advertising or something like that. It's a very big shaila how we paskin at the end. A lot of people argue it doesn't matter what the metzias are, and really you're right, you can't really tell, whatever it is. People think that that's why they're having it, because it's in the sherry cask. That's why I'm definitely spending so much money on a Callan, right? I'm spending so much money on this 18 years. I really think that something happens in 18 years, which by the way could be a heter as well, because then you could say it's Ben Yoma, now we have Ben Shana. So maybe the first one was a problem, but 18 years, they're using the barrels all the time. Shulchan Aruch in source number 17 says in Shish Kuf Lamed Zayin, Kalim Ha'asurim Machmas Yayim Shel Ovid Kachavin Mutar Litein L'Tocha. Right, you can have all these. Sorry, this is what we just read. Now go back to the original sources. Sorry, Kuf Lamed Hey. Kuf Lamed Hey says Afilu L'Kay Eno Beluya Yoyser Mikdei Klipa. We're only talking about the outer layer. The outer layer is not a problem because here it's all the way inside. It's only on. It's not that there's actually residue. Right, it's not that the bottom, they didn't clean the bottom out. Is a little bit of wine. No, it's in the barrel itself. That's called kedei klipa, and that should be mutter. Tezayin says, kol ha-kelim shem yud beis chodesh, there might be a heter. So you could say that, but then how do you know it's the first one? It's not the first one. 18 years is obviously more than a year. That's another heter that you could bring out. Again, I'm just trying to point out all the difference. Ikar lekach is the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Lama Dalet. The question here in the Ramah, Avel imhu lefkam, no yisipan lefkam, so that's going to be the question. Nirudu hu adin, b'din afilu bo vada yayin esach, eno ele pekam. That's the question. Is the sherry cast? Now, some want to argue that sherry is actually, as I told you, so many times more than normal that that's even going to be much, much more problematic because it's not regular wine. It's like 12, it's a much more proof, I don't know, I forgot what number it is, proof than normal wines. My wine is only 12%. It's much more. And therefore, maybe it's going to be different and the empirical test can't really tell that. Again, Yosef Midvareinu, Tachlis, and there's a lot to discuss on this, so please don't take what I say here. Mikana Lakan. There are those that clearly think that there should be mutter, and others who say, why are you playing with this? In fact, there's a company, one of my neighbors gave a share on this a number of weeks ago. It was a wonderful share, very, very knowledgeable. It's very funny. He said he was on a business trip. I think he said he was wearing a hat, and his friend wasn't. His friend's a little bit more Haredi looking. And this guy comes up to him from Kentucky, of all places. That's where they were. And he says to him, you rabbi? And he says, yes, I'm a rabbi. And he says, oh, and this one you know you're in trouble, right? Yes, I'm a rabbi. He says, ah, that's great. Perfect. He says, I got great news for you. I have the first company that's making bourbon, because they come from Kentucky, making a bourbon that is OU certified. And the rabbi guy, this Haredi guy from Israel, goes, that's horrible news. He says, what? Why is it hard? What are you telling you, Jew? What are you telling me that's horrible news? He says, that means that all the other ones are really awesome. Right? What does it mean? It means that they're finally kosher bourbon. So what do I need to have other bourbons for? If this one's has no shilas of any poiskim, of anything of that, bottle b'shishma, it's a good from the guy from Kentucky. So one asked the question that. Again, the bottom line is, just give me just 1 minute to summarize. Really here, it's all about these things might all be kosher. But am I a baal nefesh? Do I want to say, why shouldn't I be a little bit more machmir? Right? It's a very good question. In all these cases, why should I have a Starbucks? I said this in the five towns. It doesn't make any sense to me. There's a Starbucks next to Crawford's and Central Perk, places that have Mahajim and Mahajim Hashkachos. So what am I going to the Starbucks for? I don't understand. The coffee's better, reports. You don't understand. Shkoyach, thank you very much. I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. But that's questionable, and this is 100% Vada Kosher and Chol of Yisrael. I don't understand. See, it's a general question you have to ask yourself. Am I living as, like, you know, kind of, I don't want to say the word, half Jew or whatever. You have to be very careful with these things. Yotzim Dvarenu, you should be zeicha to only good things and good food and, know what you're eating is good for the nefesh and good for the guf, and Amir Tzashem, you shouldn't have any issues.